Well, I hope you're all keeping cool, because it's pretty damn hot out here in Las Vegas, Nevada. In fact, yesterday it was 115, or so about. Yep, this is Andrew Fetter at When Pigs Fly. And I want to thank everybody for listening, and also future listeners. And also I want to thank BBS Radio for hosting and having me on their show here, producing it. Before I get into certain things, there's which I was going to talk about, thoughts and things, as you all probably have seen on my header, which I would definitely promise to get into very, very soon. But I do want to get something that was sort of outrage in me, and I have to do spill it out. And the reason why I also feel very energized, by the way, I have to tell y'all, I do a lot of healings on myself by going through what they call out-of-body thing. That's where, out to pull myself out. And the last healing that I had subjugated to myself was a while ago, since 95, by my master, Janae St. Clair, who was unbelievably gifted before she had passed away. And that was the last time I had a healing. And this Sunday I had a really great healing from a young lady. Her name is Sun, and it just totally energized me, kept me down earth. I had so much information coming into me that basically I was having what they call sometimes split sleep with your soul. Especially being in Aries, you get sort of energized, and stuff. And just so for your information, you can always, and I'm telling you, she's really good. If you're out here in Las Vegas, you can connect to her. She has a MySpace. By the way, I have a MySpace too, which I'll get into. Her MySpace is / Reiki with Sun, R-E-I-K-I with Sun. And you can always contact her through there. If you don't have a MySpace account, you can always email her at Reiki_with_sun@yahoo.com. Or here's her phone number. You can call her directly at 702-401-4831. Again, that's 401-4831. And by the way, I'm telling you, she gets great healing. Well, now that I'm all energized, and I did mention, by the way, I do have a MySpace account. If any of you want to catch me as your friend, send a comment, have a question, whatever, hit me up. It's myspace.com/ Andrew Fetter. And, of course, you can always check me out on my web, at my website, andrewfetter.com. Which is has about my book and about me and yada yada. So, but anyway, I have to get back to what I'm sort of like was outraged a little bit. I'm best if you can imagine because of the circumstance, but it wasn't so that I didn't know that was going to happen, but I knew it was eventually going to happen. And you all know what I'm probably talking about. Yeah, the commuting of Libby's sentence by Bush. And I was basically effing outraged, especially coming right before Independence Day, our independence from the tyranny of the British crown. So basically, what I have to say is, in a nutshell, and I'm just going to just lay it out, and calling everybody to do their thing. And I just feel that, being that I am all outraged, and I believe everyone in their heart is outraged by Bush's commuting Libby sentence, and because we all know what he'll probably eventually make a full pardon, but in fact we find out later this is almost like a de facto pardon, because what bothered me is this is America, where our theme for liberty and justice for all, which we had just celebrated this on Wednesday for our Independence Day from a tyranny of one king over more than 200 years ago. I mean, and now what I'm asking, and I'm calling upon all Americans who are patriotic, patriotic to the sense that they feel they're very, like they're Americans. And I don't care whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, a Libertarian, or whatever, or just, hey, I'm just you're just an American who truly embraces our Constitution as our rule of law. That we are a nation of law and not of men. And how we embrace those that embrace the concepts inscribed in our Declaration of Independence, which we had just celebrated on Wednesday, which declared our freedom from the tyranny of King George. I ask you, Americans, fellow Americans, that we need to remove the tyrants of today, namely Bush and Cheney. You know, we have suffered 6 years of tyranny where George W. Bush and Dick Cheney believe that they are above the law, which they had laid their hand on the Holy Bible and solemnly swore and took an oath to uphold and behold to the law. But what do? They are no patriots at all. They are actually enemies of our Constitution, enemies of our America. They are not comparing them to terrorists that slam themselves into the nine tower, you know, the on 9/11 in the Twin Towers. But what they have done is spitted on every soldier's grave whom had died in the name of our country. From 1775, 76, and forward, they have spitted on every soldier's grave who had tried to defend for our freedom, for our liberty and justice for all. And worse, they're not just tyrants, they are traitors, treasonous traitors. President George Bush Sr. had once commented about disclosing classified information. In fact, he had said it is treasonous to disclose and leak the identification of a CIA operative. In fact, he, by the way, had fired Karl Rove for the exact same thing. At least George Bush Sr. was that much honorable. Maybe I don't agree with all his politics, but at least he was honorable in doing that. As an American, because I mean, I can disagree with it. Some I have friends of mine who are Republicans and conservatives or whatever. We can disagree on things, but when somebody takes power and manipulates it and puts us at arm's way, that's wrong. And now we're finding like Valerie Plame, not was only the CIA operative, but she was the operative that handled non-proliferation of nuclear weapons in the Middle East, and now we're in a situation with Iran with our fingers stuck up, we can't even do anything. Now that's why I say Bush and Cheney are not only our tyrants of the day, they are traitors that must be dealt with. I said dealt with according to the Constitution and immediately implement the articles of impeachment. I know some of you are saying, oh, well, it's too late. We only got a year and a half, a year or so. How long will it take? It's not about time. It's not about that. It's about justice for all. So that no other president, no other vice president, no other person who thinks power is absolute power and take advantage and manipulate it and use it in their own way for their own gain instead of acting as a true executive of the Constitution. This is not about Bush and Cheney. This is about America. This is about what we believe in. This is about liberty, justice, and the morals of what we established ourselves as a nation that we had to grow from out of the through independence, and then it took us 200 years to deal with the situation of slavery, even though it was done in the 1850s and 1860s, and finally consummated, and you know, we still had other issues, and we still didn't resolve the racism and stuff until the 1960s, and we still have problems with a lot of variations of that, but that's, we're growing. But the fundamental thing about our great nation is about liberty and justice for all. So what we should be a beacon of hope, a beacon of democracy, a beacon of our true republic that has tolerance, and again, justice for all. That we equate our justice system, that there's none better. So now I ask you, fellow patriotic citizens of America, to email, type up an email, it doesn't take long, call if you want to, even write to your senator and congressman, not just to have some painfully BS rhetoric hearings, but to have the balls, the audacity, to implement articles of impeachment. To bring a true justice for all back to our republic. Because right now, if there is no justice for all and there's no equality, why should we listen to you? Why should anybody obey authority? Why should anybody even listen to authority? Why can't somebody today say, F you to a cop, F you to a judge, F you to a congressman, F you to a whole system? If the leader of the country who's supposed to be protect, supposed to be enforcing it, can't follow it and protect it, then why should any Americans listen to any other authority within our government? That's why I demand and I request that everybody just call your congressman, email them, whatever. It is our situation here to protect our republic and for the future, for our future children and grandchildren, and not just for this government for with Illinois America, but as for the in the future for this world, because we are an example, and it says like in Tao Te Ching that it's better to be the beacon, the light for a nation within to look so that other nations can look upon it as an example, and that's what we could be. So again, I say to you, fellow Americans, patriotic citizens, email, call, do whatever, write your senator, your congressman. Again, not to just have hearings, but to implement the articles of impeachment, to bring justice for all back into our republic. They are congressmen. Our congresses must stand up and tell them. They must stand up like our forefathers had done in 1776 with a bayonet in their face and stand up against tyranny. I say to you, now is the time. Now is the opportunity. Now is the choice. We all make choices, and with all choices comes responsibility. But the lack of engagement, an idea of being apathetic, is another choice. If we don't do anything, then we have to respect the responsibility of the lack of being apathetic and not engaging and receive its consequences. But if we make the choice that moves us toward the light, to stand up and say, no, we're not going to take it no more. This is not what we believe in. This is not America. We want America of liberty and justice for all. So it is our responsibility to demand that our elected officials implement the justice for all. Tell your friends, tell your family members, your loved ones, your co-workers discreetly, because sometimes employers frown upon that stuff. But just talk and get everybody engaged. Send emails. hundreds of them, thousands of them. Everybody starts sending emails demanding immediate implementation of articles of impeachment, you don't think now is not the time? Yes, it is. Tell them to choose as a patriotic American. Now is the time, now is the choice to remove the ugly yoke of Bush and Cheney's tyranny. And I want to thank you for listening to my little outrageous speech here and getting that off my chest. I just felt it was absolutely important in light of the situation of what has come to pass. So, I can take a breath, a drink. I had some coffee earlier and felt a little wiped out. I had a busy week this week. I have a busier one next week. So I want to talk about thoughts and our things. It's funny because a lot of stuff, people put up and they type up maybe a guideline or whatever of what things they're going to talk on a radio show or what they're going to say. And it's sort of funny because I don't really do that when I get into spiritual stuff. It just comes from me, from my heart. I don't know how to say it. It just does. That's why I just do it. And I sort of add a little bit in a way because this information is coming to me from another source, so to speak. I'm just a vehicle, just a messenger boy. But I need to talk about the reason why I want to talk about thoughts and things, because I hear a lot of things, and I had spoken, by the way, and I want to thank Don and Wynn for having me on the show, and we talked a little bit of thoughts and things, and they just scratch the surface. And I know that when I talk to them, they just get into a very light essence of what thoughts are things. So I want to get the very essence of what thoughts are things so people realize what they are. And this is why it's very important to understand them, because it eventually reciprocates and comes back to you. And in fact, it is you. It is part of you. And I'll explain why. And this is why, like, for example, I'll get into is why self-esteem and self-love is so important. And then you've probably heard about changing tapes and all that. But let me get you from the very beginning, because I think it's absolutely important to understand the very beginning of certain concepts first. And I won't get so detailed, and I won't get so quantum physics on you or anything like that, but it is very much of the matriarch, the matrix of the system. First of all, people have to realize when you see or listen, it is a perception. When you taste, it's a perception. What is a perception? You've just taking in objects coming into you. You're seeing them, you're adjusting to them. So you're only perceiving what you think is finite. You're seeing objects, whether it's a TV, a phone, even the speech, you think of it as a finite element. But we all know that as a fact, it's actually infinite. In fact, there's a famous quote from Tao Te Ching. And I'm referring to when they say Tao. Tao means basic universe, beyond God, like God. There's a quote that says, the Tao is like a well, used, but never used up. It is like the eternal void, filled with infinite possibilities. And what is that? It means that basically, it's beyond the void, it's beyond the infinite. In fact, and by the way, if you know, I had studied Kabbalah many years within Israel, and also later on when I came back, and I utilized a practical Kabbalah system and understanding of many things, which I will get into another show and talk about Kabbalah and what it really is. But even in Hebrew, they say Ein Sof. Or Ain, which is really the essence of God. It's sort of the infinite. It's beyond the infinite. That's basically God when we're talking of God's essence. It is, you can't put it in words. You can't put it in simplifications. So now if you look at things more on an infinite scale, almost like, I don't know if any of you have saw the show called What the Bleep Do We Know? it basically hits it right on the nose, because there's only approximation of possibilities. Now that you that's what I'm getting, that's what it is, basically an infinite space where all these little molecular situations are happening, atomic, energy-wise, wavelengths of certain photons, and then even beyond that of energy, it's only approximate proximity of that. That's going on around us. And we see, visualize, we see ourselves, our bodies, physically, but we all know atomically we're just a group of this mass force of atoms. And then beyond that, we're a group force of energy. Which some people pick off, they actually pick off the energy from our soul, which is another infinite attachment. It keeps on going on and on. It's almost like pi. The universe is pi. We have a number that starts with a 3 and then goes 0.14 and then keeps on going on and on and on. But it never ends. That is our reality. That is the infinite. Pi, which is curved. Because it can't straight gives you a one dimension. Why is it curved? Because it's multiple dimensions. And that is the universe. So if you can picture that, that is our godliness. That is within all around. That's why we're all connected. That was why when somebody hates somebody, you're really hating yourself. Because you're a part of it. We're all connected. So now, after with that understanding of the infinite possibilities, now where is the source? Where's that thing called thoughts or things? What are thoughts? What are thoughts? In the Bible, in the very beginning, in fact, let me just take a clue of something. In Kabbalah, when you study the reading of Zohar, about 80 to 90% of all the stuff they talk about, and it's really interesting, it's all about Bereshit, Genesis, the very beginning. Which is about, relationship, Adam and Eve and the creation of the universe. But it's out of that very essence, the very intact. It's a very simple spot of what clues of certain things, let me put it that way. And one of the biggest clues is, it says in there, don't we all hear or heard about that thing, God created man in his own image. Oh my God. You think he made his face looking like God? No. It's not even that in Hebrew. It doesn't say image. It's like a reflection, actually. It's what it says basically in Hebrew. And what's a reflection is reflecting of what the situation of God, and what it was God able to do consistently, because he did it out of utterances, which I'll get into that patterns. He created. So what our soul and what our man is, and this, by the way, also separates us, our abilities from the angelical souls, is that we're able to make choice and create. And how do we create? We create thoughts. We create thoughts and we project them out, whether through speech or just our brains. So what are thoughts? You're like, I'm thinking of something, whatever. You think that thought just stays there and disappears? No, you've just created this energetic force within it, a photonic force. And now, the energy that you have created behind it with that certain thought is like moving out. It's like dropping a little penny or a little stone or pebble in a pond. That's a thought. And it makes a little ripple, because that's what it does. It's basically, it's almost like there's a frequency. It's a quantum level of energy that's going on, almost like electrical magnet energy going out in the universe. That's one little thought. That's one little thought. So when you put something behind that thought, whether it's anger, love, hatred, empathy, compassionate, whatever that behind that thought, that's almost like the fuel, the energy going behind that source of energy. It's the acceleration of that energy of thought. So when you put out that thought and you put love behind it, really love, that emotional feeling, that is that feeling behind it, the feeling that you put behind that thought is the acceleration of that thought. So that's vibrating across throughout the universe. And now, you're probably going, how is that possible? Well, it is a fact, and they have, you can actually see it. They do, I mean, if you do pictures through auric fields, they have done where the person has a certain thought goes out, and they actually can see the thought actually go out on a reflective basis, almost like a light force, because it is a wavelength. Light is, the thought is a wave. So that's putting in sort of finite terms, but like I said, it's really not finite. So that's the fuel behind it. So when you think of something, those are what the thoughts are. Now, what happens with those thoughts when they're out there? By the way, they are of you. When you make that thought, they're always of you. And it goes out to the universe, and it mixes in with everybody else's thoughts and energy. Because that's what a thought is you just release a form of energy. We're like little generators of energy. And it's not like new energy. We've actually pulled that energy and put it out, because there's no plus or minus energy. Energy always is relative. It's always the same. It's not created new. It's called conservation energy. That's what it says in quantum physics. Well, it is. It's always the same amount of energy. It just, the energy is displaced from one area to another. And so we've pulled that energy into us and pushed it out and generated it out. So that little source of thought that you just put out now is out there. And depending what you have behind it, like I said, is what will reciprocate. I'll give you an example. If I put out a thought, it's nonchalant, and I say, oh, God, my life is so, things are so sucks right now. What am I going to do? You know, that thought there. And you also even, it has a little, it's like the little pebble that's flying across the universe. And then you put behind it that emotional thing in there. And by the way, it's called web. I just remember that, web, will, emotion, and belief. Whatever, that is literally the creation. Whatever you put a thought and you put the will, emotion, belief behind it, which is the feel, the energy and the frequency that you create behind that thought, gives it the further force, the further energy. Not just like the electromagnetic energy, but the kinetic energy as well, like the momentum force. And so that thought is carrying out. And you just put that poor me thing out there and pretending how much energy you just put into with that, guess what? The universe sort of goes bang, back. And that thought flies around and it comes right back at you. And you know what it does? Because we are what we create. Oh, yeah, God created us in our own image. We have the ability to create with thought. We just created our own universe. We just created that poor me thing to actually happen. And I know it's hard. Some people say, oh, my God, it's hard to control my thoughts. I have these evil thoughts. Well, that's why there was a term I remember my old master, Janice and Klesher, used to say, you have to change your tapes. I mean, the things that are running through your head, the way you think. You know, it's like Buddha had said, there's no way to happiness. Happiness is the way. It's the way you think. It's not to say that you don't have ups and downs. You can't be sad. You can't be happy. Because those are feelers. That's normal. There's no such thing as being spiritually at bliss and you go, and like that, being normal. That's not normal. That's not reality. Because you're going to have ups and downs. That's part of life. That's part of being in this human environment to react and feeling things. So you'll have up and downs. And the way you react to it is, of course, that's where your thought processes come in to go, oh, wait a second, I know what that is. And not, it's our test. So you don't have to get in this blissful thing and think you got to be like some swami sitting there with no thoughts, because that's not real, because eventually, guess what? You are going to have that, or you'll have zero thought, because part of you is creating. Part of you is pushing, pulling out that creative process of carrying out those thoughts. That is you. And pulling that out and make a void of it is like emptying taking a stallion, a tiger, and putting weights on its legs and saying, you can't run no more. And basically you start withering and skinny, and you can even die from that, physically and spiritually. So there's a light force behind it. And so when I talk about thoughts are things, and what you put out is what you are, and changing the tapes, it goes into character. What I think, and I really suggest everybody, you can listen to other people on these, other hosts on these shows that put out some very great information about developing self-worth. One of which would be Kate Romero on her show, and she has, if you ever go on her, she has this thing that's really great. She sends out these bulletins. They're very fascinating, but she has very good, she's trying to teach and to expand upon self-worth. And there's many others using different ways. James Gillard talks about his, Don talks and Wynn talks about theirs. I mean, I can go on and on. Dr. Reverend Juliet does hers. They, all these people who are on the show, very spiritually inclined and very in the, walking toward the light, have tried in different measures to basically fundamentally change or have you the opportunity for you to change your tapes. And changing those tapes would change your thought patterns from going negative to positive. Yeah, we always have negative thoughts. Because we're all, from even a light side, there is a shadow of our light, as they say. We all have a dark side to us to some extent. It's always that we're constantly trying to walk toward, make the effort walking toward the light. That's the most important thing, always making the effort, always striving to improve, to look forward. So those are your thoughts or things. And you can create, like I said, from those thoughts, it can go on a negative or a positive. So when you put your emotion behind it, you can see what happens. Now, could you imagine if there's a whole lot of people who are full of anger and vehemently putting out thoughts of hate? What do you think would happen? Look in the Middle East. Look around the world. Where there's deep hatred toward another people because race, culture, whatever, and they constantly project that out. Not just out of thought, and by the way, speech is another wavelength, which doesn't disappear. You just don't say something and, well, it's gone. That's another way. It's created. And then, of course, that reverberates and turns into a reality. And there's a forever reaction. There's a reaction because that energy has caused an action. Now it's going to come back. So the fundamentals, like I just said, thoughts are always things. They don't disappear. And also thoughts are relative when you, there's another aspect to them which is pretty fascinating, is the way the thought behind it is projected out. I mean, you can have a thought from your higher self, like there's different levels. I'll give you an example. And they also relate to basically your chakras, which I'm not going to go into too much, but you can all look up what chakras are if you're not aware of what chakras are. They're basic source centers relating to your spiritual side. And then people try to put it in concrete terms that it's basically a spinning cycle of energy emanating from your soul within your embodiment that you're in now, but it's even beyond that. But they do relate to the way your character of creating the creation of that thought. I'll give you an example, which, you know, here's a love talking about sex. Sex, orgasm, literally means mini death in French. So when somebody has sex and they have an orgasm, if they have a thought behind that orgasm, they're going to carry it from that chakra, that energy behind it, because there is energy from that chakra. And that is another push behind that. It's another infinite way of putting out some accelerated energy behind it. It's another dimension to create. So if somebody utilizes sex in, let's say, a negative way, that can be bad. Depending on how to look at it. If they use sex to manipulate, that's going to be... whatever action comes back is a reaction out of that thought. Same thing with your lower chakra. I've heard people fast and they don't try to eat. That's relating to separating their physical being from the earth, and they create from that source. That's actually the very lower side too, just like from the sexual side too. And then there's the stomach area, which is the third chakra. There's foods that you can actually eat to create that situation, to create that thing where it'll help you create in that sense. You know? And then there's the situation where you can create from actually your heart, which is even further. It's actually moving up to a high, what they call the higher level of yourself. That's what they mean by upper level of creating, of the thought of love. But then see, you know, it's right in the center because it could flip. If you do anger, it could go the other way around. Love, positive. And then even move further up and you're into the area of your throat, which is basically your will. And that's where I got will, emotion, belief. Will, emotion, belief. Well, the will is coming through your throat. So if you speak it, that thought comes out as a speech. It's a pattern that you just carried another wavelength, not just a thought, but now you have also, it's like almost a dualism of energy going out there because you just said it as well. That doesn't disappear. You said it and that sound is gone. It's the energy behind it still there. Like I said, energy never displaces itself, doesn't use it up. Even like you burn gas, you don't use up the energy. The energy is just converted into another source of energy. And so that's what's going on. It's always there. And then if you, like I said, the will, emotion, belief, you have the will from your throat, your emotion from your heart, and the belief in it is actually through your head. Your chakra that's, they say your karma chakra, or whatever. That's your real belief, your source of belief system. It's your higher soul. You know, it's the upper part that you read and through. So those are sources of, and I'm putting it in a finite way, but it isn't finite, so it's a gathering with that, of how areas of creating those thoughts and where they relate to. And of course, the highest is actually from your crown. And if you've ever displays, where you know everybody has chattering, you know, it's like, that was another thing, like one utilization, for example, when you do get, like, ever get a healing or whatever, it's actually the first thing a person should do when they do a healing. In fact, they should tell you firsthand, but they also should, you should just be doing it, but it's to get rid of the chatter, all those garbage thoughts are running through you, because you keep all those chatter. Oh, what, I'm going to get the market today, I got to pick up my kids tomorrow, in an hour, I got to fix my car, what about the check, I got to pay the bill, that's chatter. Those are like mini thoughts, that your worry thoughts, which is a whole other issue. So you got to first get those cleared out, moved out beyond, outside your universe, outside your, you know, let them go. Out of your field, basically, what they say. So now the field is cleared, and then you get to the opening to your, what they call original thought. So one aspect of, like I do is when I meditate, is like, And I'll get into that, like, again, when I talk about Kabbalistic and Taoist approaches, because they're basically identical in Tao Te Ching and Kabbalism, and practical Kabbalah, is a model where they say you get to non-thought, to the empty shell, to the non. Because when you get to that area, you have to, in our practice, then there's no thought, and all of a sudden a thought comes in. And those thoughts that come in, is it like a little energy information that it's not coming from the universe? That thought just came in. I didn't create that thought. Where did that thought come from? Oh, you never created that thought. So where did that energy, that thought just came from? Came from the universe. Could be coming from your guide that's trying to tell you something. It could be just the universe trying to tell you something. It could be someone sending you a loving thought, or vice versa. But you can always tell what the source is, because that's another thing fascinating about thoughts. If you really get into them, they're like, you know where they come from if you really look into them, because they have like little trails. They're connected. They have like a long line of energy connecting to where that their source, where they came from. So again, those are thoughts or things. So the issue of the day is changing your tapes, changing your thought patterns. Because if you change those thought patterns, that will reflect on your life. If you're always worrying about where I'm going to get that check or where I'm going to get that money, what's going to happen, guess what? The reality is that's exactly what you're creating. Now, we do create... There are karmic situations that we fall into that come into being that have nothing to do with our thoughts. Like if hit by a car, to have nowhere. And believe me, never had any thoughts about that. Or something with IRS, or something unusual, or who knows what. Or some calamity, someone in your family passes away in such a bad way, or something violent happened within your family, yourself, or somebody else. Some of those are, again, created. That's why I say there are no victims, there's only volunteers. But then there are other times that they're basically karmic events. And you can usually tell what those situations are from what their source are just by, like I said, there's always a track, there's always a fingerprint, a footprint that leads to showing you eventually what those are. And basically those individuals and their higher self know where those really came from. And so, like I said, you can get into understanding where the basis and where those have come from and understand your thoughts are you. They are your reflection. So if you start thinking in a positive way, but actually you're creating a positive force. But you just can't go, oh, I'm thinking real positive. What did I say? You got to have the will, emotion, belief behind it. You have to will it. You have to have the emotion behind it and the really, truly believe it. Well, how can I change my belief? It takes time. Everybody has their own level of changing and growing and moving forward in different situations. Karmic events will, you know, test you. You know, when you go into a situation that's, say, economically really bad, and you need to change your, and you know, you're going, but what did I do? This thing, I lost my job, I lost my dog, I lost my house, I lost my girlfriend, and it sounds like a country song. What did I do to earn that? That might just be karmic. And you know in your heart, I didn't do anything. You're right. It's like maybe it isn't. It is not something you created on one sense. On your higher self, you always create your own karma. But that situation is a test in how you react to it. And so if you throw out your thoughts of being very negative because of that situation, guess what? You're just going, well, okay, that's what you want, that's what you get. If you want to put something out negative, hey, we'll be happy. See, it's sort of funny. People don't understand that God in the universe basically gave us a game board with choices and what we can do with it, and here's the tools and what we can do with it. You can use it for negative or positive. You can use, you know, a tool or a fork to eat with, or a knife to eat with, or it can be used as a weapon, something negative. It's a tool. And how we use it is what reflects back to us. And we always get it back. If it's not in this lifetime, hell, when you come back in the next lifetime, you're sure to get that karma. Because you just created that karma for yourself. And how does it come about? Originate from thought. Your thoughts are things. Like I said, they do not disappear. They always stay with us. And they always project going out. Now, when I talk about another issue, I mentioned about speech and talk as energy. It is. You know, when you talk, everybody knows it has vibrational patterns that create, and it can create and move things. Or, you know, everybody knows how sound has a certain vibration and frequency that can, you know, you've seen like, you know, big old speakers and put them big, loud enough it can blow a girl's dress off, like in that movie. I forgot, Italian Job or whatever. Sound does have that on a physical basis, but also on a energy basis as well, and very strong. And that's what we're referred to as utterances. When people chant, people pray. If you say something and you put something behind that emotional belief or and will, like behind it, you are creating out of that speech. That's what it really means when in the Bible it says, "Thou shalt not say something in vain, God's name in vain." That's what that really means. It doesn't say, oh, you're not supposed to say, you know, gee, damn it, or whatever. That's not what it says. It says not to use his name in vain. Not to go, I hope God wipes your shit off the planet, or I wish something, you know, that's vain. That's saying something in vain. Something very vain. That's what that referred to. And why it's warning you not to use that in vain is because it's going to come back at you. Your speech is very powerful. It's utterances. You know, there's two types of speeches that people do. Prayers. People, when they say certain things, when, you know, if you say, here's another thing, you'd be showing grace to the universe, you say thank you. That's being graceful, for acknowledging that, you know, it's not, you're not obligated to have it. It's only by way of showing modest graciousness that you've received it. So you say thank you. You say thank you when the waiter brings you your food. You say thank you for a friend helping you out. You say thank you for somebody giving you a healing. You say thank you for your boss for giving you your raise or your bonus. And then that, when you go say, most of the prayers out there, they say, thank you for the food, thank you for the water, thank you for the wine. Thank you. What's that about? Oh, it's showing, you're creating a pattern, a graciousness to what you have. It's called grace. That's what grace means. It's basically acknowledging what you've received. And that's creating a thought, type of thought, and also out of speech you're creating. So physically saying something through your throat and projecting that energy out of your throat, that utterance, think of that, that's like a thought as well, because that's creating an energy force itself. So like I said, thoughts are things. And they are a part of you, and you're like throwing little energy lines. Just think of them like you're like going fishing. And you throw that little fly hook or whatever when they do that fly fishing out there, and it zings out there. That little line of energy is connected to you forever. That little thought that you just threw out. It doesn't ever gone. It stay there. And guess what? You know what? Eventually that little energy thing, it comes back at you. Positive or negative. Delight. Maybe not even anything. Doesn't even have to be. I mean, there's a very gray area between thoughts. I mean, how much light force and darkness behind that thought, and there's all the gray all in between, too. Like I said, there's no exact thing, but just know that thoughts are things. And depending on what you put behind it, the will, emotion, belief behind it, to what you're creating behind that thought, that's going to create the acceleration force, the momentum, the quantum physics behind it, the electromagnetic wave that's carried within it, to project itself in the physical form on this planet that you see, that you visually perceive as our universe. It will reflect that way as well as other ways that you do not maybe perceive on your physical form, but is definitely out there in the spiritual form. So we all have these like little, like I said, ways we got to change these things. And like I said, there's when I always bring up about self-worth, self-love, that is your vibrational pattern. That if you change your tapes and you change your thoughts, you're changing your self-worth. You're making it right, your energy frequency move up higher. Therefore, your thought patterns will change as well, too. And you'll be reacting it to situations wiser, maybe. Because it's all choice, no matter what your reaction is to those situations, your thought patterns, your reflection. It's like a constant reflection going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And there's people who actually like to live like on a merry-go-round. You know, they go from one relation to another that's abusive. A woman who meets with a guy who's abusive, she gets rid of him, she meets another guy and gets the same exact guy but in a new embodiment. Just the same. And she sort of likes it in a way, because that's not because she really likes to be abused, because that's what she's familiar with. That's because that's where her energy is. That's where her level of self-worth is, instead of moving forward. Because if she moved forward, then you go on to what they call the merry-go-round ride. You go on the roller coaster ride. That's up and down, up and down. It's different. Everything's different, but you're always changing. You're always moving. You have the opportunity to move forward. It's not the same wheel going around and around. And we have, like I said, thoughts are things. You know, when somebody takes up drugs and they decide to shoot themselves up with heroin, what's the thought process behind that? They've created that thought pattern. They threw out those thoughts. They created the situation that they are wanting to take that thing and stick it in their arm and shoot that stuff up their arm, or take that little pipe and stick it up their nose and snort that crack or that rock or that meth, because they've created those negative thoughts and they reciprocated back on them over and over and over again, over and over again. So changing their self-worth, their energy patterns, rising up further, higher and better, will change that fundamentally. You know, it's funny, our health system, our mental system, mental health situation, there's also physical matter that problems with brains, you know, actually having physical problems. But the funniest thing about, I notice about psychology, is they two things on an absolute. When it's really not an absolute, it's more on an infinite situation. If they dealt with people, instead of not putting band-aids on the problem, but going on the sources of the problem. And the obvious source, and it's so simple, but see, they don't want to deal with that because then they'd be out of a job probably down the line, is it's all real simple. They make it complex with self-worth and self-love. Very easy. So your self-love and self-worth was better or higher, you wouldn't be shooting up heroin. You wouldn't get in a relationship that's abusive, or be the abuser, or the hater. You wouldn't get into a situation that's negative. And if a situation arose that was karmically unkind, you want to call it that, where your car, everything was stolen or whatever, raped, even whatever, as bad as it is, as gruesome as it is, as hard as it is, then how you react to that situation is now your choice and that energy carrying out, and your thoughts behind it are a major force behind it. I mean, your action behind it is one energy force, but people forget it's your thoughts. Your thoughts are things that create those forces behind it. It's your thoughts that decide, created in yourself that you wanted to make a choice. It's your, you chosen to make that thought, thus creating that image and that situation. So before I wrap up, and I want to close, clue to my illustrious producer, I want to close here and first of all thank everybody for listening to my show. Again, I want to thank Don and everybody at BBS Radio for having me have my show on their station. And as well, I want to thank Sun for her healing last Sunday. And like I said, you can always, I said, contact her at 702-401-4831 is phone number, reiki_with_sun@yahoo.com if you want to email her or just set up an appointment. Check her out. You can go at myspace.com/Reiki, R-E-I-K-I with Sun. And there's also, I just want to tell everybody, I'm going to close out with a song. It's called Devil's Suitcase by Masonic Temple. It's really a unique song. It's sort of on the goth side, on gothic rock, which is pretty fascinating music. Almost makes you feel like I want to be a vampire. And you watch out little girls. I may want to do a feeding after you hear it. But anyway, they're a really cool group. They're offering actually really pretty cool at free their album for free. You can download all their songs, which is pretty unique. And that you can is available at www.mp3.com.au/Masonic MASONIC Temple. Again, that's www.mp3.com.au/Masonic, MASONIC Temple. And you can download all their songs. What I have up now is, which I'm going to play at the tail end of my show, Devil's Suitcase. And I hope you all enjoy it. I want to thank again everybody for listening to my show. And also just remind you, please check my MySpace if you have a MySpace account. It's MySpace, obviously, .com/AndrewFetter, and send me your messages, your comments, questions. I'd be happy to answer them, respectfully, of course. And otherwise, I want to thank everybody for listening to my show, and I hope you like Masonic Temple with Devil's Suitcase. Thank you, and God bless you all.
This is Robert Lee Kemp, the host of the Mr. Destiny Radio Show here on bbsradio.com. Tune in Monday nights on the late night section at 7:30 Pacific and 10:30 Eastern. I want to invite you to come and listen in or participate in our lively and informative shows. Would you like to know something about your special destiny? How about your personal relationships or your finances? Are you thinking of moving but not sure when or if you should? Did you just meet somebody and want to know whether or not you are compatible? Would you like to know when you will meet somebody new or have more business success? Or would you like some help understanding your life and yourself? If you answered yes to any of these questions, I may have some answers for you. Tell me your birthday and I can reveal your secrets, maybe even secrets that you don't even know. The system I use is described in my two books, Cards of Your Destiny and Love Cards, available in all major bookstores. Your birthday is the key to your birth card, and that card tells me everything about you. I invite you to come and learn more. I hope to see you then.
My shack, I grabbed my